This is Beg Your Bookie's Wife, the sports gambling podcast that has returned from another hiatus following their previous hiatus, which preceded another hiatus. But we are back because we got to talk about Shogun. You know, you guys were waiting for us to talk about Shogun, probably, maybe, but we're talking about it. I'm Joe Public, and I'm joined by one of my co-hosts, Rain Man. I'm going to ask you, we all enjoyed the show, which is why we want to talk about it. What was your favorite moment from the first and, I assume, only season of Shogun?
There were a lot of great moments. My favorite moment, first episode, man being boiled alive as an experiment, and that also being a decent death.
That was mine too. You kind of stole mine, so that's
I mean, it's a clear 1A here.
Boiling the guy alive, that was a first for me. Took a long time.
Okay, so that's this show. Got it.
Took a long time. When they just show his skin and then he knocks himself out in the thing, that's
And then, well, a sister scene to that is in the last episode where the guy is like, "No, I want a good death. Feed me to the dogs."
Yeah.
He doesn't want to take his own life. He wants to be fed to the dogs.
Blow me up with cannons.
Capper, what was
blow me up with the cannon. That is a good death, though.
Capper, what was your favorite scene in Shogun, and why was it the bullying the guy alive?
No, I can only think of one thing, and it's the way that they... It's like it happened in a few scenes, but the way they shuffle on their knees.
What a weird choice.
So
I don't know. How do you do that?
So well, despite all this, I can assure you we did have a deep appreciation for the show.
Listen, man, it's the real Coach JB here. Man, I hear you've been hanging out with the wrong fucking crowd, like a slapdick you are, man. Everybody thought you were fucking smart and all that shit because you watch CNN and MSNBC and fucking Fox News and all that. Sounds like you're a fucking dreamer. You're getting dumber. Get your fucking ass figured out. Go watch the real show.
We will ban your bookie's wife.
Step your game up. Stop being a slapdick. Make today a great day.
This is Ban Your Bookie's Wife. We're back. We mentioned we do show movie reviews every now and then, and it's usually way more entertaining than when we talk about sports, so we just don't do it that often. But we want to talk about Shogun because it piqued all of our interests. I would say in terms of it felt like it had a high level, like Game of Thrones level storytelling and intrigue and interpersonal relations. I thought it was impressive in that it avoided, there weren't that many big set pieces. There were a lot of smaller, meaningful action scenes that they used to hit, like fill that. They didn't have to necessarily break the, I guess it was cool. I did appreciate the ways that they used storytelling to overcome for budget in certain senses. I guess I should ask both of you, did either of you read the book? I have not.
I have not read the book or seen the original miniseries that it was based off of.
I did not know there was
never
an original.
Never read a book.
There was an original miniseries, and Capper has.
Yeah, it was a cultural phenomena back in, like, I think 1980s, 1980.
Yeah, Capper.
It was one of the big prestige network miniseries that they used to do, and it captured the zeitgeist back then, just like it did now.
Capper, how did you read The Giving Tree, or did you not? Or you just told people that?
That is a good. Not anti-Semitic, so yes, I've read The Giving Tree.
All right, thanks for clearing that up. we talked about our favorite.
Shel Silverstein for sure, Jewish, right?
Shel Silverstein.
Yeah, Shel Silverstein must have been Jewish. I mean,
yeah, had to been.
Had to be, right?
What if he wasn't? What if it was just?
It could be one of those that like.
What do you mean by one of those?
The names.
What do you mean by one of those? I don't know why you make
sneaky.
It's a pretty big leap. Shel Silverstein being Jewish. I don't know. But let's see. Did you have any other specific? Well, we can go through any other before we go like right into just the finale. Any other specific quotes or moments from the season that you guys really liked?
The son slipping on the rock, like very Game of Thrones. I mean, just the chess pieces, like it looks like it's moving towards a certain direction, and then like that's like the one unexpected thing.
Yeah.
Like they're about to get a jump on him. Boom. Nah. Chaos.
I think the motif with like using the translator was really effective as a way to like explain things.
And the memes for that have been fantastic. Yes.
The fact that it was just, I did appreciate that it captured just a completely different culture. And it was also sort of, I don't know.
A story that like we don't hear often.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And I like the idea that the binary good and bad that we're used to, just like it's a society where that doesn't exist and you have to like make sense of it in like that sense. I guess it's all to say let's get into the episode recap where we just like high level things that happen. I guess for starters, I guess they sort of open. We can talk about the loss of Mariko-sama. Mariko-sama. And also,
I mean, just an unbelievable scene with her in the castle trying to
My appreciation for not showing her blown up like the other cannon dudes. The cannon dudes, they were all nasty and blown up, but Mariko-sama after getting exploded was still like looked fine.
she deserved that death.
I mean,
she deserved a good death.
There you go. A good death. That did seem like a.
She got what she wanted. Very true.
Yeah.
She got what she wanted, which was not having to have sex with her husband. That was seemed very important to her. Just the amount she hated that dude. Just so much.
I kind of get his thing.
Oh yeah,
like
dude.
I get Buntaro. Yeah, I understand.
Oh yeah, what do you mean? He's like the most sympathetic person. Well, not in that. Well, he does beat her. So that has to be taken into account. But he does get cucked immediately by the savage from native lands. And I would be pretty upset about that.
Immediate, like he wasn't even there. He was gone for like 2 days.
The thing is, like, she didn't have to admit that she had feelings for Anjin-san. No. She didn't need to, but she did. She told him.
She wanted to hurt him.
Let's just go into the episode. In the aftermath of the assault on Osaka Castle, Mariko is buried, and the council unanimously votes to declare war on Torinaga. Blackthorn leaves Osaka with Yabashige. And Torinaga's consorts, having learned that from Alvido that Mariko persuaded the church to spare his life. Let's talk about the guy with the haircut cuck that Mariko also didn't like. But he was the Catholic guy, and they go to the forest, and he's like, "I was supposed to kill you." I didn't like that guy.
He had a bad vibe.
He did have bad vibes. He's supposed to be sympathetic.
Also, just like soft.
I think he's supposed to be sympathetic. Like, you're supposed to. Like, I think they were trying to make him, but.
They tried to at the end.
Yeah.
But he just, I don't know, didn't really do anything the entire show.
I didn't like the fucking guy. Didn't like the fucking guy. All right. Okay.
Fair. Let's keep going. You don't have to.
Upon arriving in Ajiro, they discover that the Erasmus has been destroyed, and Yabu is arrested by Torinaga's men ruthlessly hunt for suspected traitors. After confessing to have aided Ishido, Yabu is ordered by Torinaga to commit seppuku the following day. I think we can talk about the ship is sunk.
On the ship, whatever happened to the dude's men?
Oh, well, they said a few of them died. He reunited with one of them and just beat the shit out of him.
Yeah,
and
then, beat the shit. But he's like, what about the others, you know? Like,
I think they're just still in Edo, presumably.
You think they're just still boozing and whoring
in Edo? I think they're just going to die there. I think that was, like, the presumption. I think the idea is that they were in, like, a not great... They were, like, in the slums, kind of, like, wasting away there. That was my, as far as I know.
I feel like you would try to talk to him on a sober day, you know?
No,
after
he just
sailing the entire ocean. With
nah,
them.
He just
kind of gave up pretty quickly.
Nah, he just killed one of them after taking him across the ocean, and then he was just like, "Nope, I'm important.
I'm not gonna do that anymore.
Sorry,
my war doesn't matter.
Sorry, you guys.
I'm gonna go fight for this dude.
Sorry, I'm important now. I have consorts. So we have.
Speaking of. The goat, Fuji.
Fuji.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, Fuji is good.
I feel like Fuji's going to get a lot of work from this show.
You should stay. And she's like, nah, I'm just going to leave.
Do you think
we're going to go be a nud? Thanks.
Do you think we can get, we should totally try to get a cameo from Fuji this college football season.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Robert.
I'd kill for that.
It would probably go similarly to the William Hong cameo where he just read exactly what we sent him and then sang She Bangs. That was one of who will win the Ohio State-Michigan game? She bangs, she bangs.
That's, okay. Deliver your hits, man.
Hey, man. Blackthorn reunites with Fuji, who informs him that she has been relieved of her duties. And then, so I guess like, this is something that's not even like talked about in the, recap, but we can like, so cause at this is the point where you realize it's not a flash. So the dream sequence, basically it starts with the idea that he's an old man. When you watched this, were you aware that he was dreaming of something that didn't happen, or did you figure it out when you read about it after the fact? Were you aware of the motif they were going for during the episode? I think I would like to ask.
No.
I was not
at all.
I wasn't either. I didn't follow it until after.
I actually think that was the one thing that did not work in the entire series.
I guess, yeah, and after the episode ended, like, then I think we saw the name of the episode,
yeah.
And it was like Dream of a Dream.
I think what happened in my mind is I bet when the script was written on paper, it works really well because you can write flash forward to old man on the flashback to blah, blah, blah. And I feel like you can. I just thought that was a little maybe I think you need I. Well, the fact that not the three. Okay, actually, fuck it. The fact that all three of us, after watching the show carefully, didn't get it means it's not effective storytelling.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah, it just like didn't.
Like it work. Just very clearly didn't work.
Yeah.
I guess they mentioned multiple times that like Tornaga told him like you'll never leave this land, and like he kept like going back to like I need my ship. I need to get out of here. I need to like I'm going, and then but like they always told him like you're not leaving any like. You'll never get out of here.
I guess, so, like, a thought.
I guess they built up to it, but, like.
A thought I had is I don't think it works if it was because it was done just in the last episode. I'm curious if they had started the series with that scene and then came around to it to reveal that it never actually happens. But even then, dream sequences are kind of hacky,
yeah,
in my
opinion.
Yeah,
you don't need it.
I guess you don't. You just don't need it is the answer.
Yeah, like what did it? What was it? Could it possibly accomplished?
I don't know. I think it was just like
I think it was just to throw like a curveball at us. Like,
yeah, that's it.
You know that like he held on to this love for so long. Like he did, but like there was finality to it.
I'll keep going. So. Next day, Blackthorn implores Torinaga to spare Ajiro and threatens to commit seppuku, but Torinaga stops him and orders the construction of a fleet of ships. Torinaga later confesses to Yabu that he ordered the destruction of the Erasmus to keep Blackthorn from leaving Japan, and that Marika's death helped convince Ochiba to withdraw her support from Ishido ahead of the future battle of Sekigahara. After Torinaga refuses to divulge the entirety of his plan, Yabu carries out his sentence and commits seppuku. With the help of Bontara and the villagers, Blackthorn begins the efforts to salvage the Erasmus as Torinaga observes from afar. And that's the end of the show. I want to talk about Torinaga as a character. Do you view him as a chaotic, evil, neutral? Where does he fit for you? I don't know. I don't think you can say he's a good guy, But also, is he not a good guy?
Chaotic Evil is way too far. I think he's just playing the role that society has given him, and that is allowed. Like, you're allowed to have these fiefs. They have a very hierarchical model in that, like, where, you know, they all have their various fiefs, and they all kind of have these pyramids cascading underneath them, and he just happens to be one of the leaders. So to say that he's evil for doing that when sort of society is structured in that way is a bit much. That being said,
it was
he's definitely self-serving.
He's self-serving, for sure. Well, he does it in the guise of it's for Japan, and I'm curious. But I guess my question
is, the last episode is clearly
I guess
it's
just like, is it for Japan, or is it a matter of just his own ego? Is he really just a Shido dressed up a little nicer? I think it's
interesting because, like, they build him up throughout, like, I mean, 8-9 episodes. It's like this super sympathetic character that, like, he's getting the raw end of the deal. Like, they're doing all these things to him unjustly, and, like, he's really just, like, trying to take care of his people and his lands, and, like, he doesn't really care about the power struggle. Like,
yeah.
But, like, he's this master chess
player. Well, and then at the
end. So, like, it's such a, like, brutal flip, I think, at the end, that, like, you can't, like, help but, like, feel betrayed by him, like, personally.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
it occurs.
So that, like, it's just really good, like, character development.
It occurs to me, like, what he does with Anjin, how he's going to get him to build ships and then just burn them down. It's a lot what they did at the end of Reagan's last term when he had Alzheimer's, and they put leaves on the grass, and then he'd rake them up, and then they'd pour them back on the grass. Do you think that's what they were going for?
No, I
don't. You don't think that's what they
were? I don't think that was it.
No. I can't say that crossed my mind.
I don't know who the actress is who played Mariko, but she should be huge.
She's going to blow up.
She's at the Godzilla show, too, and she's, like, really good at that.
Anna Sawai?
I guess so. But I thought she had, like, a...
She was great in Godzilla.
Yeah, I think she steals the show. She, like, makes... you talked about, like, the shuffling oddities, but she... All of her mannerisms, down to, like, the last detail, were just, like...
Amazing.
Yeah, truly one of, like, those TV performances where you had to watch her, like, every second she was on screen. Yep. Absolutely, like, really, really impressive.
The lady stole the show.
Yeah.
Because, like, I didn't really think, like, the Anjin character was, like, super...
It's pretty... He's...
Well-developed. Like, he was just kind of, like, oafish.
He has no remote, like, ability.
He was just there to provide a lens for Americans into that world and to help explain it. But the main character is obviously Marika the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, she steals the art.
It's her story.
She's
got a beginning and an end.
It's all set, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think he really learned Japanese?
I think after a certain amount of time, like,
I don't think so, man.
He would pick up some of it, but, like, he was pretty advanced for, like, for what he should have been, probably. I think he could probably, like, understand some words, but, like, no way he was speaking.
Man. I guess, like, I do think we should talk about... I think Yabu's character was, like, one of the more interesting. And the character he reminded me of so much was Bronn from Game of Thrones. Where, like...
Yes.
They're both, ultimately... Look, you can be a piece of shit, but if there's an authenticity to you, people will give you a break. I think that exists in a lot of... The things people don't tolerate are the true backstabbers, the connivers. Like, I guess that's why it was so interesting to see him and Torinaga. Like, Torinaga's replacing him with his nephew, So basically, he's trading up. Like, his nephew, who was spying on him the whole time. Yabu's nephew. I think it was Omi. It's like, I thought that was very, the fact that they're ultimately, like, not vastly, like, Torinaga also, like, killed a bunch of people, but the way they go about it, the way they go about the world is so different. So with Torinaga's actions, it's disgusting. And with Yabu, even though he's the reason Mariko died, you don't even not let you still, I still liked him as a kid. Yeah.
Huge fan. Delightful.
Yeah. It's just an interesting, I think it just goes to speak to like what a well-written character and like really well acted in my opinion. I think that guy should absolutely win an award for supporting actor.
Yeah, probably so. He again, just like, I don't know, like every single one of these characters just like fed off of each other so well. And like, he just fed off of the game itself. Like he was such a like key instrument in like every single angle. When like you really, I don't know, like you didn't get that vibe to begin and then it was like, oh, I'm here. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I did it. It is what it is.
Well,
and great lines too. Just, and I don't know. Fantastic.
It does feel like if it's going to stand is like, it's going to stand the test of time as one of the, one of the reasons I think it's going to be interesting. We're doing this episode now, not long after it came out. I feel like a lot of people are going to watch Shogun eventually as like a one season, when they find out it's like a one season binge.
I think they're going to make another one.
You do? Well,
it's just too much of a success, and that's how that's how TV and movies work now. And I don't think it's going to be a Shogun 2. I think they're going to try to do something set in that world.
I did read an interesting note that like they left open the possibility of a second season because it would classify them as a drama for the Emmys.
Interesting.
It's a mini series, and like apparently the mini series competition is very stiff.
Does anyone actually care about the Emmys? Does that matter? Shogun doesn't need to win like Emmys.
I don't know. Like FX, I feel like they care.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think there will be another one because there's just more you can do.
But you lost like the. I mean, I guess like you could turn it into like an actual war story.
Right? No, I don't think they would that's touch the on that.
That was actually
wrap that up.
That was something that was kind of interesting because like the Battle of Sagahari, apparently in the book, very like all that stuff is very thoroughly written out, and here people were expecting there to be like a huge battle scene in the show, and they kind of skipped over that, but it seemed to work.
I love that choice.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too.
It was a throwback to like Game of Thrones, like early Game of Thrones, where it wasn't like all about action. It was like politics and
that was like
the political sides. And
it's one of those things where, yeah, I feel like especially if you build up a battle scene, it's impossible not to be disappointed no matter how epic or whatever, because people always have a certain image of it. So I think, yeah, the way they, I guess it's all to say. Maybe they do a different series. Maybe they just call it Torinaga or something, but I don't think you could, but even then I'm, cause he was like electric too, but I don't know how you build a show. It would be tough to build I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to have a good idea, but it's one of the most successful shows of the last decade.
Yeah.
Someone's going to try to find meat on that bone.
I wouldn't be surprised. And I guess it would be like,
all watch it. We'd try it.
We'd all watch it. I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, I'd watch.
I wouldn't be surprised if they went to like a different era, and tried to do even like a House of the Dragon type deal where it's like in this,
Catholics versus Protestants.
Maybe just
feed it into my brain, like veins
versus convicts.
What if it was just like a show about Yabu's book? Of death. It's just Yabu's book of death, and it's just about all the other deaths he's seen.
Just ranking the best deaths.
Yeah, that'd be
like 100 of them.
That would be good for like the Discovery. I think Max needs more content, so that would be good for them. best deaths in the show.
What happened to Max? Where are the Max shows?
Killed Max. It's gone.
It's not Max anymore?
Where are my HBO shows?
I don't think they're making Max Originals anymore.
Yeah, it's no Max Originals. It's HBO.
Yeah, but where are the new HBO shows?
The writer's strike, dude.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, sorry.
Something happened to prestige dramas in this country.
Goodness. We just got Shogun. We got... There's some other okay shows.
Not HBO.
HBO actually has a Sympathizer. People are watching that, I think.
People are talking about the Sympathizer.
People are talking about the Sympathizer. I haven't seen it.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Go watch heard, the Cap.
I've heard Baby Reindeer is good, but I've not watched it.
Yeah, it looks depressing. I'm going to skip. I don't like my TV to be sad. I can do a sad movie, but I don't want to do like 10 episodes of that.
I wish we should, man, we should just talk. We should just do Top Chef. Caffrey, you'd love Top Chef.
Top Chef's the best. I'm going to watch right after this.
Oh, man. What an episode you got.
I know. I can't wait. Can't wait to catch up on all the on all the texts.
Well, that's. I think that's all we
should
got.
We some, so we do some draft thoughts?
Yeah, we can quickly. Let's talk about
all right, Capper. Let's do Capper draft grades.
Yeah, go Capper on your draft
Atlanta grades. Falcons.
Good Lord. What the hell were they thinking?
It's so fucking funny. Good I love God. It.
I kind of I appreciate
really,
I
really like, hope they fail.
I like to think that they're like, I like to think that it was just like the guy, the GM sitting on by the phone and the clock's ticking. He's like, Michael Penix, fuck. It's like ordering the wrong thing in a restaurant or something. Oh, fuck. It's too late. Shit.
The only thing that saved him is Denver picking Bo Nix at 12 and all those stupid Sean Payton quotes. Like they're competing for idiocy right now.
Speaking of draft losers,
imagine being played by Kevin James and you're the loser. Like you're the like Kevin James is the
that's
one who
tough,
should be embarrassed.
That's a tough break.
He does. Man,
I loved all the tweets about Alt, the Chargers lineman.
Yeah, just huge.
How he has no aura. He lives in a log cabin. Everyone's like, this guy, this motherfucker is going to be a Hall of Fame. You can already tell.
He's going to be dominant.
He lives in a log cabin? What?
Yeah, dude. At least that's where his draft party was.
Oh, yeah, and that's why he's such a hardball
guy.
It
had like the
guy.
Wooden beam ceilings. Like,
it's perfect.
And then like he met Harbaugh today and they said like, oraless conversation. First ballot.
Well, so Harbaugh also had a great quote. I'm starting to like Jim Harbaugh because he's just too much of a character. Yeah. In the NFL, it's
such a cartoon.
It's funnier. But he was like, yeah, everyone said we needed weapons, but you know what I think a weapon is? An offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Great. Yeah.
Damn right.
Hell yeah. Beef up front, baby. Let's go.
Kurt Ferentz-ass quote. All right.
I do really appreciate Nick Saban. Loves every single one of these players.
Yeah, every time a player gets drafted, he talks about how fucking good he is. I love that, actually.
It's such a good bit. Oh. And it's not even a bit to him. It's just like, he's just a junkie.
Oh, yeah. He even talked about, like...
No, it's just himself.
He straight up just, like, talked about tampering with the guy from Toledo. Just because he wanted to say nice things about him. He's just like, we were trying to get him to come into the portal so we could recruit him. We love him.
I mean, it's genius.
He's like, chill, Nick.
He seems so uncomfortable on camera, but, like... Just, I mean, all right, coach, what do you think? Oh, I love this guy.
Yeah, dude.
Like, okay.
Yeah,
I thought Bill Belichick did a good job.
Yeah, Belichick was solid. Belichick was like was softer. Like, he was like out of his shell almost. Yeah. Like,
I did not see Bell. What network was he on?
ESPN 2. He was with Pat McAfee.
Oh, interesting. I'm only
Which watched. Was an interesting duo.
Yeah, how did that
yeah,
go?
He like he asked him like after last night at the end of it, he was like, you're gonna have me back, right? It's like, okay. Bill
Belichick, that's so funny.
Yeah.
He's man, poor guy. He's worried about dying now.
I mean, yeah, how bad? I mean, just think, like, the Falcons, all he wanted was full control of the roster. They could have not had Michael Penix this. They could have not had Michael Penix today.
they really screwed up on that organization.
They really are such a meme franchise.
It's unbelievable.
Let's see.
They asked Cousins about it. Yeah, I knew it was a possibility, but I didn't know it'd be a first rounder. Okay, yeah. Buddy.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins' official state.
Pick overall.
That's, in Kirk Cousins' speak, that's like, what the fuck, guys?